I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A crowd last night, probably just south of 1,000 people, gathered in a local grammar school gymnasium, Hines, and expressed a lot of concern, a lot of emotion about a number of issues, looking for answers. Joining us is Freddie Yoder, the president of Lakeview Crime Prevention District and president of Lakeview Civic Improvement Association, Brian Anderson, the former president of that association as well, and the moderator of last night's meeting. And in studio with me, Jared Brissett, member of the council, who also represents part of the lakefront area as well. He shares that privilege with Councilman Joe Geruso, both of whom were present at last night's meeting. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Brian, I'm going to go to you first. You moderated last night. I said earlier in the 10 o'clock hour, I thought you did an incredible job keeping things directed, on task, looking towards the cooperation of your constituency. If you would, what was the one thing last evening that surprised you more than anything?
I think the first thing that was surprising to me is that we did have so many people actively involved in the meeting. We ran the gambit. We had juvenile judges there, too. We had, we had people from the council were there. Third District Commander Ryan Lebrano was there. State Police showed up. Helena Moreno, Jason Williams. I was very happy because I knew when we started sending out the invitations that some people may not want to be part of the project. So I was very happy to see that the majority of the people that we invited to the event were there.
Yeah, and I thought it was in a very productive environment as well. Jared, you were there. I mean, as an elected official, you always feel like the spotlight's on you a little bit. You were staring 900 to 1,000 people there that were obviously emotional and frustrated. Your feelings?
To Brian's credit, he did organize it very well. The meeting was well attended by citizens and constituents of both myself and Councilmember Geruso, who are rightfully, fed up and uneased by the amount of call break-ins that we've experienced over months and even year. I would say that there was a lot of information spread, and Brian could speak to this, that they wanted factual information about what is being done, what is being funded, and I'll just speak to one of the issues that did come up. As the legislative body, we continue to invest, increase the NOPD's budget as well for more recruits this year. But technology that we actually learned. Had the opportunity to visit the Jefferson Parish Fusion Center a couple of years ago, maybe 3 to 4 years. And those license plate readers are a good piece of technology that assist in reducing crime.
Freddie, you have been involved in this a long, long time. And as president, what was your reaction to last night's meeting?
I was very impressed with the number of people that turned out as well. But I was really more impressed that we were able to accomplish one of the primary goals that we wanted to. We knew going in that if we brought the right people to the table, which I think Brian did and did a remarkable job at doing that, and we were able to keep peace and some harmony with the crowd and the people at the board, that we could make some headway. I went through the video this morning and I outlined at least 40 different things that we touched on that we need to work on. And this is kind of the approach that the Lakeview Civic Association has taken for many years. We bring the right people, put them on the right bus, we get them in the right seat, and then we ask them to work together to come to some type of resolution or improvement on whatever the problem may be. The problem may have been Katrina, or it may be higher taxes, or it may be fix my streets. but we've used that same format, same concept for years. So now we have the problems, at least most of the problems identified. I don't think anybody in that room expected there to be a silver bullet that was going to solve all these problems, but we have been able to peel back the onion and find the different areas that has caused the problems that we have. And I think if we can keep the ball rolling in the right direction, like Brian said, and continue to have the next meeting and the next meeting and the next meeting and make progress by having the right people at the table, we will accomplish what our goal is and hopefully lowering crime throughout the New Orleans area. So that's the objective.
Absolutely. And you guys seem to, there's no doubt y'all dot the I's and cross the T's and you follow up on that. Brian, last night, one couldn't help but recognize that there was some frustration you expressed, and I think many others, as I talked to a lot of folks out in the audience, expressed by the mayor not being there last evening, although that there were representations made that there would be either she or members of her administration would be there present to ask these tough policy initiative questions and the priorities, and she deferred to the police department, but the police department doesn't set the priority for all of these issues. That's the mayor's office in concert with the legislative arm, the council. And how frustrated were you that she was not there last evening?
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating because we were told that there would be people from the mayor's office who could speak on policy. And I was actually told 2 hours before the meeting that they would be in the audience, but not on the panel.
There's not much value in that, right?
No, not at all. And then I read in the newspaper this morning that their official comment was that they were represented by the NOPD. And what that tells me is it's either one of two things. Either the mayor believes that her role in fighting crime in our city stops at appointing the NOPD, or it's just not within her, political or reelection values to be involved in this issue. And I hope it's not either of those, honestly. But when you tell me that you as the mayor only have a role in appointing an NOPD officer to a board or to, like we talked about, we had the DA's office there. We had the judges there. We had the state representatives there. Not one single person on that panel can fix this problem by themselves. And what I really wanted, which is the most ironic of all of this, was not for the mayor's office to be a target at this meeting, but I wanted them to be there to acknowledge these questions and to be able to say, hey, I see what's going on. We can be a conduit. There has to be accountability from the mayor's office. And if she believes her role in fighting crime stops at appointing a police chief, then we have a big problem.
There's no doubt you asked some tough questions, some which put them kind of in a ticklish position, having been there myself as serving as the number two for a long time under a political icon. I understood the difficulties in answering those questions, and you're really not the best person to answer those questions, quite frankly. Jared, I made the observation in a 10 o'clock hour, and I thought the mayor did not handle this appropriately. I would have taken a whole different approach, but that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. She's got to suffer her own politics or whatever it may be. But I made the following observation. These folks have put their money where their mouth is. They have been engaged. They have been solution-oriented. They have created an environment and a landscape to have an open and honest discussion about a number of issues. Yes, there's some skepticism, some cynicism that may come out, but for the most part, they recognize and realize that they chose to live here. This is their home, the place that they call home. I made the observation, there are elected leaders around this country that would beg to have a constituency like this. Mm-hmm. And I would say to you, you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I've enjoyed representing over the past few years my constituency throughout the whole entire District D in Lakefront, where Joe and I meet up. They have been very engaged. I have worked with several neighborhood associations like Lake Vista to confect a cooperative endeavor agreement to put the crime cameras that they invest with their own money in a security district to place those cameras on city light poles. That's one of the things we did a few years ago back in, I believe, either 2015. And that's that shows you leadership in the neighborhood coming together with their elected official and trying to resolve a problem. But like you said, this is their home. They spend property taxes. They want to see and expect the public services that they deserve, like NOPD, Orleans Levy District has a millage. In addition to the both of those, you also have they spend extra security, the extra money on their security district annually. And so you saw some issues arise last night about how they could reallocate, and that's something that the Crime Prevention Board will have to discuss.
We're going to talk about that. We got to get to a break. Gentlemen, when we come back, I want to talk about the observations of Judge Daugherty about the failures and the inability to address certain issues because they just do not have the resources and the services available to them to really effectively change this situation that y'all are facing. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back. City Council Member, District D, Jared Brissett, Freddie Yoder, and Brian Anderson from the Lakeview Crime Prevention District and the Lakeview Civic Improvement Association. They held a meeting last night, a neighborhood meeting. Close to 1,000 people attended. Packed room, standing room only. A lot of emotion, a lot of concern. One thing for sure, guys, your organization, the members in Lakeview, they love the police. You could tell that. They appreciate what the police do. They got very frustrated, though, as I think when we're thinking about solutions. And one of the issues you could tell, and I thought one of the folks that spoke from the heart and was very straight up and honest was Judge Daugherty last night. And he basically said, we have no electronic monitoring, no pretrial services, no group homes, no boot camp, no city-run probation services. All of these are tools that are necessary as an alternative to incarceration. I don't know that anybody really wants to be putting 12-year-olds in an incarcerated, you know, condition, but you got to have some tools to be able to deal with the issue. I thought that was one of the most revealing things that was brought out last evening. Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, it really was nice to see these officials sit, or these elected people sit up on this count, and really a lot of them did talk from the heart. You could tell that everybody up there wanted to find a solution to the problem, that they are working hard. But many of them did have, you could tell their hands were tied. And Judge Daugherty did talk about it. There's this perception among a lot of residents in the city that if a juvenile goes in front of a judge, they either put him in jail or send him home. And no one wants to see a 12-year-old in jail, but no one wants to see their car broken into over and over again. And Judge Daugherty did. He spoke about the fact that we really don't have a lot of programs out there. Some comments were made about what Jefferson Parish does and what some other municipalities do. But the more we got into it, the more we started to realize that there is no such thing as electronic ankle monitoring in the city of New Orleans for juveniles. And there are programs and boot camps, but they're far from here. And I was even told off the record by one of the officials that most of these boot camps that are out of town don't want kids from New Orleans. They've got limited space, and they can find other kids to take into their programs. So we really do need to look at these other programs that aren't necessarily run by the judges, aren't necessarily run by the DA's office, that either need to be put together by outside influences, or truly, I believe it needs to come from the mayor's office with the support of the council, and we need to start looking at programs where we can put children that commit crimes or criminals that are children, right, into different types of programs where they can divert versus detain, you know, supervision. I've been told Judge Daugherty made a very good point last night that we really don't have the resources in place to actually supervise kids that are sent home, and many of them come from families where they're not being supervised on their own. So that funding and those policies do need to be created. And it's going to take more input than just the mayor, than just the NOPD, the judges, and the DA's office. It's got to come from another party, and we were hoping that would be the mayor.
Jared, your thoughts?
Yes, and Brian is right. There are, Judge Daugherty mentioned some about some programs. Look, I would definitely support the use of electronic monitoring. It was used in the past. It's a tool that I believe is effective in making sure that individuals have a deterrent from leaving out their home And in addition to that, those investments can be made. Everybody has to come to the table to decide, okay, in conjunction with the mayor's office where the money would be expended from, who's going to be the other entity to carry out the electronic monitoring program.
Are you frustrated at all? It seems to me this is all a prioritization issue. You know, I mean, I talked about this the other day, and I don't need you to comment on it, but I just, you know, we have the NOTMC deal that came up this past Friday. You know, we were told that the residual monies were going to be put to infrastructure, and now we're creating this cultural office, and we're going to utilize some of this money for grants. A very slipshod, in my view, presentation, not very thorough, not detail oriented, but it's about $3.5 to $4 million recurring revenue stream, one in which you have a lot of other departments in the city that are underfunded. Why would we want to create another department? I mean, we went out to the vote of the public, we passed this Human Rights Commission. We basically created another department there that we have to fund. Now we thought we were getting rid of the one. Now we're going to reconstitute it in a different way, and there's no funding for that either.
Right.
I mean, it just seems to me that this prioritization issue has run a little astray. I'm going to come back to you when we come out of the break. And I also want to talk about the DA mentioned a number of things, and I think his level of frustration kind of grew throughout the hearing, where there were some obvious, and from my reading the tea leaves, obvious observations that were not made that need to be made about staffing, about the prioritization of funding and where that's all going and what it ultimately means and how much of an impact are we actually making by being half-hearted in programs as opposed to being in them fully and fully funding them. We'll be right back after the CBS news break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back. Jared Brissett joins us in the studio. City Council Member District D represents part of the lakefront with Joe Geruso. It's District A, right?
District A.
Right. Yeah, District A. And Freddie Yoder and Brian Anderson from the Lakeview Civic Improvement Association. Brian, the DA was kind of reserved through most of the meeting, and at the end I think there were some obvious things that he wanted to bring to the forefront that people seem to be talking around as opposed to talking to. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, he did a good job, I think, last night of answering the questions that we asked him. It was important to us, and we expressed this in the beginning, that we try to get as much information out there accurate as possible, so that the people that were in attendance could go home and make their own decisions. You know, there's a lot of misconceptions out there, whether it be about the consent decree or juvenile justice or NOPD policing. So we felt that having these officials up there giving, you know, specific answers to specific questions, although he did touch on some of the frustrations that we're seeing from our neighborhood. And there are many people in the neighborhood who believe that the NOPD doesn't have the staff it needs. I don't know if that's necessarily a funding issue. The NOPD did say that they felt like they could always use more money, but they thought they were doing a good job of what they had. A lot of people discussed the chase, no chase policy, which was a big deal. And I think DA Cannizzaro, who's been around a long time and understands these issues, he touched on some things that were really, you know, really important and really passionate within the audience. And Judge Doherty did as well. I think they both resonated extremely well with the people in the audience who are their constituents.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, I thought the issue about staffing was one, and that was a difficult one to put the members of the NOPD that were there. That's really above their pay grade, and that's a typical policy decision that you talk about with the legislative branch. Jared's here, and I'll ask him to opine on it. But I think there was a level of curiosity amongst the attendees last night about what is the number? Where are we? How many do we actually have? We know that there's been a lot of chatter about the authorized strength being somewhere between 1,500 and 1,600. And where actually are we? What is the number? I had a number of residents say, why do they not report this out like once every 6 months, biannually, and say, this is the number. This is where we are. because they feel like it's always a guessing game.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, definitely we do need to get periodically updated numbers on the police force and how many numbers they have, broken down by council district, by NOPD districts, of course. You have 1 through 8. I have 4 NOPD districts that cover District D, 1, 3, 5, and 7. To mention about the budget issue, yes, I do believe we need more police officers. Of course, with that comes paying for the pension costs, recruiting and training. We have increased the NOPD's budget for 2020 by roughly, I believe, roughly $12 million. We continue.
And I think the 2020 budget's at $187 million.
That's about right.
One of you guys last night said is 20% of the entire city budget.
Right. It is a big chunk between the NOPD and the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office and fire. That is the three
so
biggest.
All three of those represent 20% of the budget or just NOPD?
Just NOPD.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I would also say that we have continued to invest resources by making the police, critical services like police, infrastructure, those millages. As you know, 2019 was a quadrennial assessment year, and we came to a consensus, my colleagues and myself, working tightly, Councilmember Geruso and others, we reduced millages, like we told library, we told the Audubon Zoo, go use your reserves and let's free up this money for specific priorities like infrastructure and public safety, police, fire, and infrastructure.
Yep. Guys, there was a lot of chatter last night about the consent decree. And do you feel like that y'all were able to put to rest some of the uncertainties about it? The DA brought up, you know, obviously this no chase policy and, you know, the problems that flow from there. The inability to engage in stop and frisk, which is constitutional. It's never been ruled unconstitutional. And, you know, it's utilized by agencies across this country. As well as truancy stops, that the police officers are afraid that they're going to be caught up in an internal investigation about profiling and dealing with truancy stops. And there's not really a level of cooperation between the school system, which now really is not even a public school system for the most part. It's really a series of charter schools where they make their own rules. And there's not this collaborative environment of knowing who's in school, who's not. Someone said last evening, I think 30% of the burglaries committed by juveniles, I think it was Judge Doherty, happened during the day when they're supposed to be in school. Freddie?
Well, I think the nuts and the bolts of the important stuff came out close to the end of the meeting when there were three or four people on that panel that did hit on the problems that they have, and they spoke from their heart, and they were not afraid to lay those problems on the table. I think Mark Doherty was one of those. And I think that until we get to that point where we do that, we're not going to be able to reach any resolution. This thing last night, this meeting was a great meeting, but it's only the start. And we can't let it stop here. We can't say, well, we served our purpose. We got all the problems on the table. We talked about this. We talked about that. Before that meeting, we had several meetings amongst ourselves. And I think that what I came away with was that we're not going to take no for an answer. You talked about the consent decree. Everybody talks about how complicated it is, and they talk about the judge in Washington, the federal judge that won't budge on it. And Brian and I had kind of a heated discussion on this. They believe it can't change. You got to believe anything can change. And that was the reason for the meeting last night. So the truancy problems, all the things you talked about, Newell, you got to believe that you can implement change to bring us into a better place. And that's my deal. My deal is we move ahead from here. And I'd like to ask you to just keep us on your calendar. And we'll come back to you after we form these committees and we make progress, and we'll talk about these progresses. But we had the people there that were frustrated. We had the people on the board that I think were speaking from their hearts for the most part and just saying what they felt would appease the community. I think they laid some issues on the table. So that's kind of where we are right now. We got to move ahead with this and make progress.
I was struck by the level of frustration of the criminal justice players that seemed to be very synonymous with the frustration of the audience.
Yeah, that was very true. I noticed that as well. And, you know, to touch on one of the things that Freddie discussed about the consent decree, I've spoken with a lot of different people over the last 3 weeks while we were compiling our notes for these meetings. And one of the interesting things that I came across was when you took apart the question of, do you think the consent decree is a good idea or a bad idea? If you just took that out of the discussion, almost everyone I spoke to, whether they were pro-consent decree, anti-consent decree, all said it's done its job and it's time for it to go away. So that was interesting to me that I spoke with many of these people, whether it be on or off the record, who said, hey, you know, I thought it was a good idea. Oh, I didn't think it was a good idea. But everyone seems to agree we're at the 95% point. And the big problem that everyone keeps talking about, and I think this is really where it hits home, whether you believe in no chase, chase, any of those types of things, is it costs the city money, money that could go towards ankle monitoring, money that could go towards diversion programs. And the council and them have spent more and more, and now they're starting to go less and less. But even if this consent decree was to disappear tomorrow, we still have another 2 years of probation that we would have to go through. So as Freddie said, I understand it is not easy to get out of a consent decree. Mm-hmm. But we have a very anti-consent decree president. We would have had to enter into this from a DOJ side as well as a city of New Orleans side. So one of the things we're going to talk about from accountability, and yes, we may spend a lot of time on this and it may go nowhere, but if you don't try, you don't know. What I'd like to do is go back to the council and say, hey, well, the council put out a resolution that says we would be willing to support the mayor if the mayor wanted to put out something stating that we wanted out of the consent decree. And then I would be willing to work with other groups to see if we could go towards the DOJ and say, hey, the city wants out of this. The judge that's in charge of it says we're 90-something percent compliant. Why do we need to endlessly keep spending money that we could be utilizing in other places?
One where this city obviously is distressed when it comes to resources. There was a number quoted last night, Jared. You may be able and in a position to correct me, but the annual cost of the consent decree somewhere between $5.5 to $6 million.
That's correct, Newell. We reduced in the 2020 budget by $1 million from the previous budget. Costs downward, $1 million decrease in the amount of money that we are paying for the monitors. As stated through the question Brian posed last night, can the consent decree be altered? Yes, it can be altered, but you have to have the consent of all parties, monitor, DOJ, judge, city. The judge, as stated at the hearing, Judge Morgan, months ago, a few weeks ago, actually, that we are nearing substantial compliance. The last three areas of being of concern and concentration are police supervision, constitutional stops and searches, and police bias training. Those are the last three areas in which, once she makes that determination, we could begin continuing to take that money and reinvest that money into things like ankle monitoring, because it's sorely needed on the juvenile front. And I would also beg to say that it's needed on the domestic violence front. We have one of the highest domestic violence rates issues in this state and in this country. And I think we've heard many a times that domestic violence acts end in a crime of violence. And I think the ankle monitoring can be two-pronged for juveniles and for that issue as well.
We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back and have your final thoughts as we wrap this conversation up. Thank you all for attending. We'll be right back for their final thoughts. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back. Jared Brissett, City Council Member, District D, Freddie Yoder and Brian Anderson from the Lakeview Civic Improvement Association. Gentlemen, I really want to thank y'all for spending this hour with us. We truly appreciate it. You guys actually, in many respects, are setting the tone for the city. And I think, Brian, you started it out last night saying this is not a property along the lakefront problem. This is a city problem, and this is something that we need to institutionally change the view of this problem and go about creating solutions day in and day out that are going to be meaningful to everyone in the city. And I thought it was a great start to last night. So, Brian, I'll start with you, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I guess my final thoughts, and a lot's been said about the meeting and people are online discussing it, and I appreciate all the praise, but I think what we don't want to discount is the fact that we had pretty much every major player in the city there last night, from state police. Sheriff Guzman was there. I mean, we had everyone come to the table, and every one of them told me, I will come back. So I think what we have to realize is, yeah, this is a formidable foe that we're fighting here, but this is a city who came back from Katrina, and we don't have the questions in our minds of whether it can or can't be done. There's nothing that this city can't fix if it doesn't put its mind to it. So, I mean, we need to keep it up. It's difficult for the community to keep that anger and keep that passion, so LCIA will keep doing that and we'll keep organizing. I do believe that all of the officials want to help, and I do believe that they all want this problem to go away just like the rest of us do. And I think we saw last night that many of them share the exact same concerns. We had a judge sit up there. Judge Doherty did a wonderful job, but he wasn't the only judge on that panel last night. Judge Anderson was there, and
judge
she spoke
Anderson,
about her
who
own.
Was the chief judge of the
And she spoke from the heart about her own family. You saw a mother who was worried for her own family. So what I think we just need to bring from this is it's good to be angry. It's good to want to vent. It's good to want to get that out. So I wanted to make sure we had that opportunity. But you need to be focused, and you need to keep looking at all these different issues. And we just need to keep them in the forefront so that we can get everyone. It's not a single person. The DA can't fix it by himself. The council can't fix it by themselves. They've all admitted to that. It's not a sole issue problem. It's going to take more than one party to fix it.
Absolutely. Well put. Freddie?
Well, I think we know what the elephant's made of now, because we talked about all the different components last night that need to be fixed. So it's up to us to continue the ball rolling in the right direction. And this is a situation that involves the people and the elected officials and the civic people like ourselves and leaders that are going to work together to try to come up with some solutions. And we can keep banging this thing until we make progress.
Absolutely.
And that's the most important thing.
And the observations I made, obviously, were not just limited to your association, to all of the elected officials and other public employees that were there last night. I thought everybody, they brought it. They brought their A game last night, and they really put it out there. And I think there was a lot of self-reflection, too, in many respects of, these are our failures, and we just got to face them together, and we got to figure out and craft a solution together.
Newell, let me say one more thing. I had an opportunity to shake your hand last night and thank you for all the good work you've done. And you were there. You sat through the whole meeting, and that's the kind of person you are, and that's exemplified in your radio shows and what you talk about, your passion for this community and the people in this community. You didn't have to go last night, but you did because you wanted to see firsthand. And I'm not here to pat you on the back. I'm just here to thank you for what you bring to this community.
Well, thank you. I actually enjoyed the experience. I thought it was well done, and I thought everybody brought something. As I said, they brought their A game, and I appreciate all of the differing points of view. I love challenging one another, and there was a lot of that going on last night for the greater good of the city, the place we call home. I love this city.
Right.
And I said that all the time that I was an elected official in Jefferson Parish. Our success are only as good as the city's successes. Mm-hmm. We have to succeed together. And we'll either succeed together or we're going to fail together. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. Jared?
Thank you. Just as I went to a crime vigil walk on Sunday in Pontchartrain Park in Gentilly Woods because of the recent rash shootings, murders over there.
My little hangout.
Yep. Yeah. And look, this is all over. This is all over the city. You know, Lakeview Civic stepped up to have the meeting. It's frustrating for me as an elected official, but we can't let that frustration overtake us. It's about determination and getting with all the people from, you talking about institutions, community groups like LCIA and many others throughout the city who represent well and want a better quality of life for their community. And as I said, I'm committed to returning because I've always had the philosophy of government. You know, you have to have that seat at the table, and you have to be inclusive of the different ideas people presenting. Not everybody's going to get 100% of what they want, but at the end
of the day. Ooh, that's a nasty word, compromise?
Right. We have to compromise to get to the end goal, and that's a safer city for all of us, for our children, in the city that we love.
Absolutely. And I know, Jared, that they appreciate you showing up there as well. Once again, gentlemen, thank you all so much for spending time out of your busy schedule for the benefit of our listening audience to talk about the next move. Guys, real quick, is there a meeting that's going to be at on Harrison Avenue at the church at St. Dominic coming up?
Yeah, Thursday night we have the Lakeview Crime Prevention meeting. It starts at 6 o'clock, and it'll be in the rectory.
All right.
It's open to the general public.
Open to the general public. Thank you so much. Ready for your chance to win $1,000 in the Entercom National Cash Contest? The code word this hour is MACHINE. Text M-A-C-H-I-N-E, M-A-C-H-I-N-E to 72881 at 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word before the top of the hour, every hour now through 4 p.m. $1,000 is up for grab. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan, text, and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. Scoots up next. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.